Hello, Grandview friends. It is Thursday as I am recording this, and I wanted to let you know that we record these services well in advance of when you're viewing it. And that means that we miss some things that are happening in real time, in real space. And so last week there was not an acknowledgement of what was happening south of the border, what's happening in a particularly egregious example of police brutality towards Black folks that has caused a nationwide uprising with protests and response. And in many cases, it's been with a heavily militarized response and violent police repression. And that has echoes here for us as well in Canada. And so on this Thursday, June 5th, I want to acknowledge that those things are continuing to happen and continuing to go on south of the border in ways that impact us all. And I wanted to, as I thought about recording this week's sermon, I thought, where is it that I can be, that I can place my body that means something in the midst of these realities that are going on? And so I am here on the north side of the Georgia Viaduct in a spot that used to be where my church, God's House of Many Faces, not my church, God's church, but the church that I helped plant and pastor for many years, where that church met. And it used to be that this was just a blank green space. Racism and the white supremacy are still here and are still strong. And whereas in the States that works its way out in very visible acts of violence, in the sense of who will be stronger and more victorious in the end. Here in Canada, our sin of racism takes on the form of erasure more than anything else. And this space of ground is an example of that, and had once been the heart of the only Black community in Vancouver. It was called Hogan's Alley. When the viaducts went in, they plowed through that neighborhood, and those neighborhoods, those homes were flattened. And there was a larger action that stopped a whole interstate from coming in through this area. But they didn't stop it before Hogan's Alley was demolished. And it has only been in the last 10 years or so that much attention has come at all to that legacy of Hogan's Alley. I know that Antonia in the morning congregation has been an active part of Hogan's Alley, and there will be some links that we'll put in a blog on the website if you want to learn more about that story and that history. But now it's inhabited by this beautiful mural on the side of temporary housing called Nora Hendricks Place, making visible these faces that attempted to be erased. Now 258 Union Street stands as Nora Hendricks Place. Nora Hendricks was Jimi Hendricks' grandmother, which is perhaps why we've paid attention to her. But she was also a woman of faith and a leader in the Hogan's Alley community, an important figure there, one who's honored by this place. Perhaps the more significant of Nora Hendricks' legacy stands behind me here, the pink building back there, which was called Fountain Chapel and was part of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, mostly Black congregation, here in Hogan's Alley. And many described Fountain Chapel as the spiritual center, the community center for the Hogan's Alley community. And Nora Hendricks was definitely noted as one of the people who cast the vision and drove the energy for Fountain Chapel to come into existence and for the ways that it would function as the heart of the Hogan's Alley community. But this space was also a really significant space for me in learning what our text today is about. And so in this text, in our new series that we are undertaking as we attempt to live faithfully in the moments that we are actually in, as we realize that we're not simply in a holding pattern around what was once church, but we are in fact finding new ways of being church in this time and in this space. In this new series, following the celebration of Pentecost that happened so exuberantly and abundantly last week in our online offerings, grateful to Charlie Bueller and others who worked hard on that project. And as we move forward from that space of the Spirit coming and the reminder that the church was born as the gift of the Spirit was given to the people. In our text today, Jesus sent out his disciples and told them not to take hardly anything, to travel light as they went out into the communities to share the message that Jesus had given to them. And even after the disciples had received the Spirit, I'm certain that they went back in their memories to times like this time when Jesus sent them out to refresh their memories about what were the essentials, what was important for them to remember and to know and to do as they now had the Spirit in them, but Jesus had departed from them. What was it that they were meant to do? How were they to shape the community that was coming to follow Jesus even after he was gone? When we planted God's House of Many Faces in this abandoned green space, we did so traveling light, asking those questions of what is the essence of church as you barely get started. And so it was a good experience to have nothing and to depend on the hospitality of the people of this neighborhood. And one of my mentors in particular showed up to our church. We used to meet, I'll show you where. We used to meet just over here under a tree. And that tree, it delights me, is still present here, but it looks very different. So that tree there used to be our gathering spot. And Hector came one day as we were gathered under this tree, and we were a couple of months old as a church, and he'd been sitting across the street here in a coffee shop. And he'd been watching us for weeks, and I didn't know that. But he showed up one Sunday as we were kind of packing our stuff up, and he said, "I heard that there was a new church that was starting in this neighborhood. And when I heard about you, I wondered what kind of church you were going to be. Were you going to be a church that handed out hot dogs? Were you going to be a church that handed out blankets? Were you going to be a church that that handed out food out of the trunk of your cars and drove off to other neighborhoods?" And he said, "What I saw as I've watched you week after week is that you aren't a church that gives out anything, that your hands are empty." Which is the moment when I thought, oh no, we failed the first test. But in fact, that was the only test, maybe, that we passed. He said, "Your hands are empty, and therefore they are open for friendship. And because your hands are empty, because they're open for friendship, I have come to join you." And Hector's words in that moment were the words of Jesus to me. With open hands, with empty hands, we can come to receive what God has placed in the community. We can come to receive what is possible as the body of Christ is formed by the Spirit of Christ in unexpected places. Thanks be to God.